Spin 103.8. This is Spin Talk with Lauren, and already so many messages coming into us about your experiences with chronic pain and particularly fibromyalgia. Well, to tell me a bit more about this condition, I'm joined on the line now by Rachel Lynch. She's from fibroireland.com. Rachel, thank you so much for your time on Spin Talk today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Lauren, and thanks so much for taking an interest in fibromyalgia, because it's often overlooked.
Firstly, I'm really relieved to hear I've been saying it correctly till now, fibromyalgia, but a lot of people just call it fibro. Is that right, Rachel?
We call it fibro because it's so difficult to pronounce. And any time I've told someone this is what I have, they go, fibromy-what? So I actually just say fibro. And also, like, one of the symptoms of fibromyalgia is cognitive difficulty and kind of difficulty with your words. So it's rather ironic that you give us an illness that is actually very hard to pronounce and for people to understand as well.
Rachel, I know you and others at Fibro Ireland have been delighted to share details of the Lady Gaga documentary. We've shared it on our own Facebook page because it's creating awareness about this condition. For anyone who hasn't seen the documentary yet or hasn't heard of fibro before, what is it?
There's a few different kind of definitions of it, and they don't exactly know what it is. Now, it is considered to be a form of non-articular rheumatism. And what that means is it doesn't arise from the joints. And then there's also another theory that it arises as a result of nerve dysfunction due to augmented processing of pain and sensory information. So basically, we're being flooded by stimuli and we can't actually process it. Now, the really complicated description is, are you ready for this now?
Go for
it's
it.
A neurological hypersensitivity syndrome resulting in overactivity of the sensory and automatic nervous pathways.
That is a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. Now, in layman's terms, what that means is there's a change in the way the central nervous system and the brain interpret pain. So everything we feel is amplified.
Rachel, from the get-go, I would imagine that people don't take this seriously. People think you're a hypochondriac.
And you see, there's no outward symptoms. Like for me, apart from looking a little bit pasty, I've no outward symptoms. And it's an illness that actually waxes and wanes. So you have good days. So I'll have a day where I'll be up and about, I'll be doing stuff, and then I'll have a day where I'll have to spend the entire day in bed. So people see me doing stuff one week and then can't understand why I can't do it the next. But it's like having, if you ever had a mobile phone with a really rubbish battery.
Okay.
And your battery just gets completely run down. And that's what it's like. We're just not able to create the energy to kind of keep going on a consistent basis.
It's a really good analogy. And I think if you think of Lady Gaga, we see her performing at the Super Bowl. We think she's amazing. She's fit, she's healthy. But what this documentary, 5'2", portrays is the struggles that go on behind the scenes for her.
Yeah, and actually we did an analysis of the documentary and she raises some really, really important points on how someone gets to the point of getting a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. Now, one of the first things I noticed about the video was that she looks like she's hypermobile. So hypermobility is where you're extra bendy. So your collagen is actually too flexible. And this can lead to a host of problems where you injure yourself, you're more prone to allergies, you're more prone to IBS. It's like every part of your body is made up of collagen. So it affects everything. And this is something that is missed by people because it's not life-threatening, it's not taken seriously. And then also fibromyalgia never comes by itself. It always comes with something else. And Lady Gaga has a history of lupus in her family. And we often have people who have things like lupus or Sjogren's disease or a scoliosis or hypermobility. And it's a combination of things that kind of lead to fibromyalgia. Like say in my case, I have hypermobility and I also have a mild scoliosis. So you see, the thing is, because the condition isn't life-threatening, you have all these symptoms. Say you have about 60 symptoms, but they're all mild, and they're not taken as being part of an overall condition. So what happens is you get treated for different things by different doctors, and no one actually pieces together that this is actually one overall condition.
So if it's that difficult to diagnose, I would imagine it's very difficult to treat, Rachel.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no one medication that actually deals with it. The medications will kind of take the edge off it a bit. So what we recommend is actually a multidisciplinary approach. So you find a medication that helps, and there might be a bit of trial and error with that. And then also what's really important is nutrition. You really, really have to look at your nutrition because food allergies play a massive part in this. then you need to get a really good physio who is actually experienced in fibromyalgia. And this is really important, because if they're not experienced, they can do more damage than good. And then you have to look at stress management. We run CBT courses, and actually Chronic Pain Ireland have been absolutely brilliant. They run autogenic training courses and self-management courses just to help patients gain control back over their lives and kind of learn how to handle their early warning signs and their triggers. And also Arthritis Ireland are brilliant. They run a lifestyle awareness program, and we actually have our own lifestyle awareness program. So there's lots of help out there. But what we're finding is people aren't aware of these services that are out there to help them. And then the last and possibly the most important thing is actually sleep hygiene. Like, there is a theory that ultimately fibromyalgia is actually a sleeping disorder, that we don't get into that lovely deep stage four sleep where all the really important reparative and restorative stuff happens. Yeah. And you repair yourself and you get ready for the next day. Like, I could sleep for 8 hours and still feel really, really tired the next morning.
That's very interesting. Do we know how many people in Ireland live with fibromyalgia, Rachel?
Yeah, now what we've had to do is we've had to actually extrapolate figures from Europe. So taking kind of other European countries that are similar to Ireland, it looks like there's between 2 to 4% of the population that actually have fibromyalgia. So you're looking at between 90 and 180,000 people, and most of these people don't know they have it. Because you can kind of creak along, and yeah, it's only when you have a major triggering event that it kind of tips into fibromyalgia. And then also as well, the ratio of men to women is 1 to 6. So for every one man that gets it, 6 women get it. So because it's predominantly a female illness, it's actually not taken that seriously. And then also there's kind of a double whammy for the men who are diagnosed with it. They usually don't talk about it because it's seen as they have a female illness. So I would actually be, you know, wary of those figures. I'd actually say there's a lot more men with it, but they don't have the same opportunity to discuss it that women have as well.
Something that Lady Gaga spoke about quite openly in the documentary is her fear of not being able to have children. Is this something that can affect a lot of people with fibro, Rachel?
Yeah, and I think you kind of have to be really careful with this, because this has to be considered on an individual basis. Now, I don't have children myself, but I actually made the decision not to have children because in my case, there is a genetic component. Now, luckily, I've never been fussed about having children, so it wasn't a major decision for me. But I know it's a huge decision for other people as well. And I don't want to say to people, you can't have children if you have this condition. It has to be looked at on an individual basis. Like, there's many people who there isn't a genetic component of fibromyalgia. They've been in a car crash, and that's what's triggered the fibromyalgia. So the other thing is as well is you can have the genetic component for fibromyalgia, but if you're aware of it and you take certain steps, it can be alleviated. But like, I was diagnosed in my early 30s, and what I noticed was women who had fibromyalgia, their health is an awful lot worse. And that's because pregnancy can be quite difficult. And what's the first thing that goes when you have a baby? It's your sleep.
You mentioned triggers there. I read in an article, I think it was in The Guardian, just about the Lady Gaga documentary, that there is a suspicion that there might be a link to trauma.
40% of people with fibromyalgia have experienced trauma. I would actually say it's considerably higher. What happens is when someone experiences a trauma, and it can be a physical or emotional one, it's almost like the brain short circuits. So you have this thing called a HPA access, and that's kind of like the thermostat in your brain that controls everything. And it's like it blows a fuse and it's not able to get back on track.
It's also interesting, Rachel, and as I said at the start, we're getting in so many messages already from people just about what life is like, people's attitudes towards their condition. If anyone would like to find out more, where is best to direct them?
If they go to fibroireland.com, we've a lot of information on it. And there are other organisations that are very supportive of it as well. As said, Chronic Pain Ireland, so they would be chronicpain.ie, and Arthritis Ireland. Arthritis Ireland actually have a dedicated helpline as well, and they actually have people with fibromyalgia who are on their helplines, as do we. So if you're talking to someone, you'll actually be talking to someone with fibromyalgia. So when you say you can't get out of bed or you're totally exhausted or you're in agony, you will be talking to someone who knows what you're talking about. I would also say make sure you have a discussion with your GP as well. And if you feel it necessary, get a referral on to a rheumatologist. And there's actually a fantastic program in Harold's Cross. They have an excellent interdisciplinary treatment centre. But you do need referral from a consultant from that. And what they do is they literally cover everything. They do hydrotherapy, they do physiotherapy, they do CBT, they do nutrition, they do the whole package. And you can go in there for a week, 2 weeks, and they literally show you how to manage the condition and try and get back on track. But you do need a consultant's referral letter to avail of that.
And you've just reminded me of something, Rachel, before I let you go. And I know on your own Facebook page, you were talking about Lady Gaga mentioning this in the documentary, is how expensive this can be for people
Absolutely.
Living with fibro.
It is a bottomless pit of money. And that's why we developed the LEAP program at Fibro Ireland, because we noticed people were trying expensive treatment after expensive treatment. And the danger is when people are up against a wall, they get desperate. And they will literally try anything. Now, I'm a counsellor and I've been with Fibro Ireland for 7 years, and I've heard the most outrageous stuff that people are doing. But people are desperate, and when you're desperate, you will do anything to get better. And I thought it was great that Lady Gaga actually acknowledged that. You know, you can see that she has access to all the best treatments as well. And not everybody has that option.
Rachel, so much information. We would encourage people to check out fibroireland.com. Rachel Lynch, thank you so much for your time on Spin Talk today.
It's been lovely chatting to you, and thanks so much for taking an interest in fibromyalgia.
There are so many messages coming through to us about your experiences with fibromyalgia and chronic pain. I'll do my best to get to everyone. And also just to say that there was an awful lot more information that Rachel had to hand for us. We just couldn't, unfortunately, get to all of it. But I would encourage you to head to fibroireland.com. Because she just wanted to point out it can take upwards of 2 years in some cases for people to get disability payments. So there's a lot of information there for people. But got to move on to some of your messages. And Audrey had been in touch with us, and she's good enough to join us on the line now. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Good, thank you very much. Audrey, tell me a bit about what you're dealing with.
Well, Lauren, I was in a car crash in 1986 and basically had a very severe whiplash and lower back injury. And I sort of grew up in my teens into my 20s, 30s, just living with pain and just taking the normal Diphene, you know, all the time on painkillers and trying to keep the pain at bay. But in 2010, when I got an MRI scan, it showed up some bulging discs in my lower back. And further to surgery, spinal surgery in 2013, I was diagnosed only then with chronic neuropathic pain disease. Basically, it's an invisible disease, Lauren. It's only for Chronic Pain Ireland, John Lindsay, and all the work that himself and Christina Donnelly do for the charity. I actually don't think I'd be here today, because they have just been tremendous in the support, because you're completely, you know, thrown into this darkness is the only way I can describe it. Your whole life changes, everything. I lost my job. I wasn't able to walk. It affects your friendships. People don't want to know you because you're just complaining about your pain. And Chronic Pain Ireland were there for me when I really, really needed support. I'm very lucky to have a family who have stood by me. I'm very lucky to have special friends that have also understand what I'm going through, and it's a continuous battle. Like, I have a spinal cord stimulator implant, which basically sends paresthesias down my legs to try and falsify my brain into thinking I'm not in pain, because it's your brain receptors are affected. It's a disease of the central nervous system. So basically, it's like your brain is an immersion switch that will not switch off. So your brain is constantly telling your body you're in pain, and it has no way of switching it off ever. So you're bombarded with medication, which absolutely wrecks your brain. you know, because it has dreadful side effects, and you're all the time mishmashing your medications and trying to get something that balances your life out to some degree, to give you some quality. But to be perfectly honest, the quality of life is really, really, really bad, and that's why people suffer very badly with depression and go to the likes of Chronic Pain Ireland. Now, I actually, when I was diagnosed in 2010, I'd had the failed spinal surgery. I started dictating my, rather than journaling, I started dictating my life, just the impact it had. And it turned into a 36-chapter book, to which I've given the copyright over to Chronic Pain Ireland.
Oh, wow.
It's $5.99. It just shows my journey and how the impact on my life, my husband's life, my children's life, my work life, my family.
It definitely sounds like something, Audrey, that people, unless you're faced with it, people just have no idea.
No idea. To be honest, Lauren, like, until it hit me, like when I actually went to my first meeting with Chronic Pain, I went through the Vincent's Pain Management Program, which was absolutely excellent. And until I got a diagnosis and a prognosis, I actually thought I was going mad. And until I actually went into a room full of people in Chronic Pain Ireland, and could people who were singing off the same hymn sheet and understood what I was going through, I thought, oh, thank God, I'm not going mad. Gosh. There are so many people. I think it's 1 in 8 at the moment in Ireland suffer with this, and literally suffer in silence.
So, because, as you know, Rachel said, people feel they won't be taken seriously.
It's, exactly.
But also, yeah, exactly. Rachel pointed out, like you, there is people who can understand, and a lot of the counsellors on the phone in Chronic Pain Ireland and also Fibro Ireland can talk to you. Audrey, what's the name of your book before I let you go?
The name of my book is My Second Baby Jude. It's on the website on Chronic Pain Ireland for $5.99, and 100% of the proceeds go directly to Chronic Pain Ireland. I'm not getting 1 cent. I just want to try and make a difference and reach out to people who really, really, really are suffering with this disease. And because it's invisible, it gets pushed under the radar, and we don't get the funds for the care we need and the support we need. So I really wanted to give something back to a charity that had saved my life. And
Audrey, lovely to hear from you.
I'm delighted. I'm sorry for Lady Gaga, that is, she has fibromyalgia. I really feel sorry for her, but I'm delighted that she's actually brought this to the fore.
Because I'd never heard of it. I'd never heard of it.
A lot of people in chronic pain actually have it, you know, and they're friends of mine through that chronic pain. But it's just one part of chronic pain, you know, but a huge issue for people to have to deal with on a daily basis. And as I say, destroys lives and destroys friendships. And
Audrey, listen, thank you so much for coming on.
I'm just delighted to be actually given the opportunity. Thank you for letting me come on.
Thanks, Audrey. Have a nice day. And sorry to kind of rush Audrey at the end there. There's other people. I can't get over how many people are getting in touch with us today. I had never heard of fibromyalgia. Yes, I'd heard of chronic pain, but I didn't know the half of it before today. So thank you for getting involved. Monica is next. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
Good, and thanks for hanging on there. Monica, Lady Gaga's documentary is called 5'2". Your documentary would be called 5'1", I'm told.
That's right, yeah. So I'm a huge fan of Lady Gaga, but a bit jealous of the extra inch.
Tell me a bit about you, Monica, and I suppose why you are such a fan of Lady Gaga, why you can relate to her.
Well, I guess I've been on this journey, and I've had to turn medical detective. Like Audrey, well, for me, it started in my 20s and pain, and it turned out I had spinal problems, bulging and herniated discs. I worked, I was well educated, I had honours degrees, and I spent a fortune over the years going to physios, osteos, chiropractors, acupuncturists, massages, going to doctors, various consultants, and you know, I only got officially diagnosed last year. Took 30 years.
Oh, my God. Monica, God, you sound a lot younger than your years now.
Well, I have a childish type voice, I suppose. But
what a journey, Monica.
I'm in my early 50s, and I only got officially diagnosed last year. it was suspected by a private physio that I visited on and off. But you see, all of these visits cost, you know.
Yes.
So with health, wellness being so expensive, you only go when you're desperate. And a physio, actually, my local physio, suspected it. Now, she had been treating my spinal conditions on and off as best she could. And I went to my GP and passed on the info. And, you know, my GP tried his best. He offered me drugs, which actually weren't for fibro. They don't have anything.
Rachel said that. There's no actual treatment. There's no specific medication for what you have.
No. It turns out the drug that is commonly given out is actually for epilepsy. But I have tried it. It does help with pain management. But there are huge side effects and I don't use it anymore. You put on weight and you actually kind of get a bit dozy. You're not yourself because it does affect your brain. That's why it helps with the, you feel less pain. Mm. So you actually turn into a different person and you're not the same person at all.
That must be very hard,
Monica.
That's
not really a way to live, is it?
That must be very hard.
Well, I found for myself, turning medical detective, I only found out about Fibro Ireland myself by researching on the internet, and I have found them great. Particularly Rachel has been a mine of information, much more so than the highly paid consultants and rheumatologists that I have visited.
Yeah, and I must keep repeating for people, fibroireland.com is the website, because as Rachel said earlier, a lot of cases, it can vary. You know, works for one person might not work for another. Monica, yeah. I've got to move on, but I can't thank you enough for coming on. It's been lovely speaking to you.
I actually just found that for myself, hydrotherapy is really good.
Okay.
And very little. Total Fitness was sold off where I live, and I used to be a member, and that major health amenity has not been replaced.
Oh, that's unfortunate. You haven't found anywhere the same since.
No.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call, Lauren.
Great to have you, Monica. Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Great to raise awareness about something like fibromyalgia. As I keep repeating, I've never heard of it before, and I can't get over the amount of messages we're getting about it. Alison is next on the line. Hi, Alison.
Hiya, how is it going?
Good, thank you. Alison, how old are you, do you mind me asking?
I'm 29 now.
Okay, so it seems to be from our previous callers, women in their 20s.
I feel about 50, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about you, Alison.
To the point, I actually totally agree with the last lady there about the medications. You know, to begin with, I thought I was just after having my little fella, and he's 9 now, but I was just after having him, and I had absolute chronic pain in both of my hips. I actually thought that I was going to be told that I had some sort of degenerative bone disease because of the pain that I was in. It was so beyond the point of excruciating, and I cried in front of my doctor quite regularly, and she sent me off for x-rays and all of the rest of it, and everything came back perfect. And that was kind of, it was great to hear that everything was okay, but kind of disappointing in a sense because it didn't answer any questions that I had. And so that's when the medication started, antidepressants, multiple painkillers, and the Lyrica that I was prescribed as well. Now, when I say for a couple of years, taking painkillers is one thing, but to take antidepressants and the Lyrica and whatnot, I lost spans of time. I can't remember maybe about 12 months of my life because of the effects of the Lyrica on the brain. There was a lot of added issues, kind of symptoms that were coming on top of it purely from taking the medications. And so I decided for myself and my own life that coming off all of them medications and taking just the standard amount of painkillers, ibuprofen, was about the best as I could do to manage it without adding more problems down on top of it, you know. So it gets to a point where you do feel a little bit invisible.
Yeah.
Because I am only 29 and I am quite a vibrant person. I have absolutely no problem in joining in and having the crack and whatnot, but there is a fine line of what I can do to how long I can do it for, and I find myself being the one that bows out and goes home early and misses out on parties and misses out on social gatherings, or feels, I suppose, a little bit of kind of an annoyance on people, yeah, because I'm not capable of doing what a normal 29-year-old does, basically.
Yeah, Audrey said that earlier on, you know, she lost friends over her condition.
I have a few select friends that know me, who I am and what I'm like, I suppose, and I'm very lucky to have them, and a very, very supportive family as well. But
do you feel... Like, sorry to interrupt, Jonathan. Like, do you feel just people don't take it seriously, that they think you're just a moan?
Oh, I feel like I'm being perceived as a lazy, want to kind of soak up the monies from the country and sit on my less than €200 a week, you know, and it kind of, I'd love to be out working. I'd love to be out meeting people in a social environment, you know, but at the same time, I'm physically incapable. I mean, it gets to a point where I can't go up to the top of my stairs without having to take a break, because my legs could go out from underneath me, you know.
Yeah.
It gets to a point where shaking clothes from the washing machine could damage my arms or my shoulders. I could hurt myself from doing something so simple, and it makes you feel so silly, but it does feel so real, like, you know, that you can't ignore the pain. It never goes away.
Oh my God, Alison, the picture you paint. Do you mind if I ask, you mentioned your little lad at the very start.
Yeah.
Do you have any more children?
No, I've made a conscious decision that I have the most perfect, absolute joyful little boy, and I couldn't possibly split my time with another child. I couldn't possibly take on the amount of effort that it would take, because he is himself independent, you know. He can do things for himself. He's very helpful. He does the dishwasher and things like that, you know. And in order to start that again with a brand new baby would be absolutely and utterly the worst decision for me, to be quite honest.
Yeah. God, Alison, it's so hard.
Well, at the end of the day, I think a lot of us have kind of, we get past it. We've learned how to kind of laugh at ourselves, you know, and we take it seriously, but at the same time we have to kind of move on and, you know, experience life and be happy at some point, you know, and that's what I kind of hope for everybody, instead of being in darkness in the bottom of a well. I mean, light, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. We just need to reach out and support each other, you know, so that's how I best describe it.
Alison, great to hear from you. Thank you so much. What a wonderful attitude. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good to speak to you. I'm so glad we're doing this topic today. I should have Kirsty on the line next. Hi, Kirsty.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Interesting that we have spoken to numerous women today, Kirsty, because these conditions that we're discussing mostly affect women. But, you know, Rachel Lynch said fibromyalgia probably does affect more men. We just don't hear about it as often. So I would love to hear from men if you would like to get involved if you suffer with a condition like fibromyalgia, 087 711 1038. But what you're going to talk to me about, Kirsty, does specifically affect women, and it's something that we've touched on in the show before. Tell me a bit about endometriosis.
So last year I found out I had endometriosis. I ended up having to go into hospital for an emergency surgery. I had an ectopic pregnancy, and they found endometriosis. And basically, I'm still learning about it. I know about it a year. But there's a woman called Kathleen King who is the chairperson for EAI, which is the Endometriosis Association of Ireland. So she's actually teaching me a lot about it. There's groups on Facebook and everything, so she's actually quite good. But it's basically endometrium-like tissue that grows outside the uterus and connects to different organs. Now, I ended up in A&E last week because I was in so much pain. And basically, it turns out what they think it is that my womb and my bowel are now stuck together. So I was just given medication and told, go home and just wait an appointment to see specialists. There's nothing else that they can do for me.
Oh, God, Kirsty, that's a lot to digest. And I can't imagine the pain, because from when we've discussed it in the past on the show, a lot of people will fob you off, I'd imagine, saying, oh, you just have period pain, get over it.
Yeah, one of the nurses did actually ask me, like, oh, you're just having a bad period. And I was shocked. I was like, no, I think it's a lot more serious than just a bad period now, to be honest. But I'm out of work at the moment as well now with it, which I try not to let it affect my work. I try not to let it affect friendships and things like that. But a lot of the time, if I go to the cinema, that my heat packs come with me, and I have to ask them to put it into the microwave and heat it up for me and everything, just so I can sit through a film in the cinema, so I can still go out and do things. But a lot of the time, it's hard.
And how do people react to things like that? Like, let's say you're out with friends, or, you know, you're out on a date or something, and, you know, it's a big effort for you because you're in so much pain. How do friends and family react?
Well, to be honest, my friends and my family have been absolutely wonderful. They've been so good. At the start, they were like, you're a hypochondriac, like, there's nothing wrong with you, you're fine. But once they kind of looked it up and realised how serious it was, they kind of got a bit more on board. And now, like they're great. Like, they'll check up on me, make sure that, I don't know, I have enough heat packs in the house, I have enough medication, all that kind of stuff. Work is great as well. Work is always asking if I'm okay. And they're kind of, I think, because of, like, Lady Gaga's documentary and a lot more different things that are being talked about, I think it's starting to kind of come a bit more awareness for people, and they're starting to realise how serious it is. Whereas a couple of years ago, like, nobody even heard of endometriosis. I didn't, anyway. I only heard about it last year. So I think it is starting to kind of come to light a bit more, but there's still a long way to go.
Kirsty, really appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so much for talking.
No problem.
Good to have you. Kirsty lives with endometriosis and is suffering quite badly at the moment and is in pain. Today we're talking mainly about fibromyalgia, but also chronic pain. Like, there's different conditions and there's also different levels, I'm learning, to fibromyalgia, because the causes are different, and how one person deals with it and how another person deals with it can vary, and different treatments might work for one person and not another. There are so many messages coming into me, so I'll do my best to get to all of them. You can get involved in the conversation. And as I said there before I spoke to Kirsty, I would love to hear from men. If you are suffering with a condition like this, do you feel you can't speak up as much as women do? Rachel said earlier on, you know, she feels their power. When we put up on Facebook this morning that we were going to be discussing this on the show, we got an email in from Kira, who wanted to tell us a bit about her blog and her journey. And I'm delighted to say she joins me on the line now. Hi, Kira.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you very much. Your blog is justthefword.com. Tell me about why you started blogging, Kira.
I had lost my job and pretty much my life due to the illness that is fibromyalgia. And I was kind of at a loss. I kind of was all go for college and work for years in a creative industry, in the fashion industry. And one day it all just stopped. And I had no outlet. And I was quite angry with the world about losing, you know, the things that were in front of me were now not anymore, as in future, life, job, things that we take for granted, you know, your normal day-to-day was gone. And I was kind of at a loss at what to do, and I started posting on my own Facebook, and I suppose not everybody was as interested in what I had to say, so I set up somewhere more dedicated just to get my thoughts out there, clear my head, and give me something to do on a daily basis.
What were people's attitudes towards, like, when you were putting up on Facebook initially what you were going through? Did people take it seriously? Did they try and understand what you were dealing with?
No, I don't think so. And I think as supportive as people can be, unless you've been in that situation and wore those shoes, I don't think anybody can completely understand. And I do, I get that. Because it's like all things in life. You can have sympathy and empathy for things, but unless you physically have felt it yourself, you're not going to know what that person is going through.
How long did it take you to get a diagnosis, Kira?
It was about 2.5 years of doctor's appointments, hospital appointments, every test going. And like you had said previous there from other listeners, all tests coming up as inconclusive, positive, negative, and contradicting each other, nothing made sense. So it was about 2 years when they finally settled on fibromyalgia. So it will be 7 years, well, 7 years in March that I got my diagnosis.
And what's life been like the last 7 years for you?
A roller coaster. it's hard because I'm not a down person, I'm not a negative person. It's kind of not me. And I try my best, and for the most part, it's fine, but it can come out nowhere. And you think you're fine with this thing, and then it's a smack of reality that this is what your life is. But I try to make the best of the situation, and that's what my blog has done for me. It's taught me that although I have this illness, I am not this illness, and it's not something to be embarrassed about. It's not something that I can help, but I just have had to readjust the way I do things and continue to push forward because I can't stop living my life because of this. As much as it can debilitate me on a day to day, the day is when I can. I need to keep going forward or else what's the point?
Have you seen the Lady Gaga documentary?
I had been waiting on this for the longest time, and
really?
I had the alarm on my Netflix waiting to go because I was like, thank you so much, because this is what was needed for sufferers. But when it came down to it, I suppose I was a little bit anxious because of the smack of reality it was going to bring. Things like that really bring it home. So I've been following the conversation on it, but I'm yet to actually physically watch the whole thing. I'm mentally preparing myself for that.
Yeah, it must be tough. And I have to say, some people have been delighted that Gaga is so open about the fact that she understands she can afford all the treatment and the VIP treatment, as one of our listeners called it. Because there is people who are frustrated by that, you know, they have to suffer because it's very expensive to try all these different treatments, Ciara. How do you feel about that?
I am so glad that she brought that up because she has made the point that no matter how famous you are, how much money you have, how much access you have to things, there is no cure. She can only get what she has the money for. Just helps her day to day. It's not curing it. And that still brings it home, even right the way back down to us. I mean, I've been discharged from hospitals because they're at a loss because they really don't know what else to do with you. It's basically self-care on a daily basis. And I'm so glad that that's been brought to the forefront now, because people often say, if you're that sick, though, surely there's something. Surely the doctor has to give you something. Surely there's something you can take. And I mean, there are bits and pieces that you can take for symptoms day to day, but there's nothing that's going to take it away altogether or leave you feeling 100% every single day. It's just, that's just the fact of the way it is. But hopefully bringing this forward and shedding light on it, that there will be more research put into it, because doctors, you know, they don't know as much about the disease because it's still relatively new and the research isn't going into it. And especially in Ireland, there's not much. There are some hospitals that offer pain management services, and there are rheumatoid departments and things that take it on. But as soon as you've kind of done your basic physio and your painkillers and whatnot, that's kind of it. On your way home with your hot water bottle or a bath or whatever helps you personally with your symptoms, but that's about it.
Ciara, thanks so much for coming on today. I love your blog. It's justthefword.com, and I have some more information for people as well about fibromyalgia. I'm so glad we decided to talk about this on the show today. Ciara, thanks a million.
Me too. Thank you so much for highlighting the issue. It's so important. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ciara. Everyone keeps thanking me. I have to say, thank producer Rachel, because it was her who brought this and said, I think we should talk about this on the show. So I feel really bad taking all the thanks. So Rach, everyone is really thanking you. But that's Ciara. Her blog is justthefword.com. Fibroireland.com is where Rachel Lynch is from, who I spoke to at the very beginning of the show, an Irish support group for people with fibromyalgia. She also mentioned chronicpain.ie. A few of our callers and texters mentioned them. Also, Chronic Pain Ireland, their helpline is 01-804-7567. That's 804-7567. There are so many messages coming through. I promise I will get to them. Just have to take a quick break for news. But thank you very much for getting involved in the conversation. Great to have you all.
Spin Talk with Subway. Make work lunches fun again with a Subway platter. Subway, keep discovering.
Spin 103.8.